Good morning, Cascadia. You're listening to your community radio station, KBOO, Portland, Oregon, 90.7 FM. Today is Friday, January 23rd, 2009, and this is Air Cascadia, a whole half hour of headlines and commentary in less than 10 minutes. I'm Chris Andre.
And I'm Liam Delta.
Western forests are dying out at a rapid rate, and forestry poobahs wonder why. It's the logging, stupid.
Across Oregon and everywhere else, job cuts are only making things worse in the economic maelstrom.
And local activists are calling for a boycott of stores that do business with Israeli companies.
Portland area weather, partly sunny with patchy morning fog in the north, highs in the high 40s. And then tonight, cloudy with a chance of showers, and it's going to be cold. Temperatures in the upper 20s to low 30s.
And first we go to regional news. Trees in old-growth forests across the West are dying out at an increasing rate, and scientists are concluding that it's probably caused by longer and hotter summers due to changing climate. While the death rate of trees is not noticeable to someone walking through the forest, actually it is to me, but it could be doubling every 17 to 29 years. Far, far down in this Associated Press article, the topic of logging is briefly mentioned. Joining us this morning to talk about trees dying in our western forest is Doug Hyken with Oregon Wild. Good morning, Doug. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So let's talk about this die-off.
Well, you know, to us it's a reminder that our old-growth forests, which are so precious, are really at risk from many different factors, climate being one of them. But they're also, under pressure for logging and many other things. So we should really be taking better care of our forests. If the climate is stressing out our forests, maybe we should be removing some other stresses like logging.
It's funny to me that there seems to be the two camps on the opposite side of environmental concerns. One, of course, people who say, oh, no, climate change isn't real, it doesn't affect the forest, and other people who say, of course, logging is wonderful. Both, so the forests really are under assault from both sides.
Well, you know, both camps might be right. You know, climate change is bringing change to our forests, but there's a great amount of variation across the landscape. Climate change might help some forests grow better and do better, and it might actually harm other forests and cause them to decline. So it's not surprising that there's a variety of interpretations out there, because everyone might be right.
Thank you so much. That is Doug Hyken with Oregon Wild. Thank you so much for joining us this morning, Doug.
State health officials are asking well owners in downtown Lebanon to test their well water for two industrial solvents. The solvents tetrachloroethylene and trichloroethylene are both linked to cancer when consumed at high levels. State health officials worry that some well owners in the area haven't had their wells tested and may be exposed to unsafe levels of these chemicals in their home water supply.
Human beings really are the only species that fouls its own nest. The Oregon Department of Geology and Mineral Industries, here we go, everybody's thinking, yeah, this should be good, has asked Oregon Resources to clarify 29 points before it can begin mining operations on five sites off Seven Devils Road between Coos Bay and Bandon. The state wants Oregon Resources to file an analysis of the levels of copper, hexavalent chromium, and zinc from tailing samples from the processing plant. You should know that what they plan to do with these tailings is dump them back in as landfill.
Workers at the nation's most contaminated nuclear site have resumed waste retrieval from an underground tank. Tank waste retrieval at Hanford had been halted since September because of some technical problems. The waste is being transferred to a more durable single-shell tank until it can be sent to a plant for treatment.
And a subcommittee has approved the first part of the Oregon legislature's job stimulus plan. The $176 million stimulus package contains public works projects in all Oregon counties, community colleges, and public universities. The bill, approved yesterday by the Subcommittee on Capital Construction, goes to the full Joint Ways and Means Committee for a vote today. It's expected to pass and be on the floor of the House and Senate for a vote next week.
Oregon state officials say rising unemployment and increased demand for cash and food stamps has reached emergency levels. Oregon unemployment rose to 9% in December, Requests for temporary assistance to needy families have increased more than 16%. People receiving food stamps rose by more than 15% in the last year.
Here's the good news and the bad news. Democrats in the Oregon House are introducing three bills to crack down on metal theft. The proposed legislation would require scrap metal businesses to obtain a certificate to operate and be responsible for keeping more complete records about the metal they receive and the sellers. Good luck, metal thieves. No one has the money to buy your booty these days anyway.
Oregon Health and Science University says it's cutting at least 500 and as many as 1,000 more jobs. President Joe Robertson told employees that investment earnings have dropped and revenues growing more slowly than expected. But there's that metal out there.
Maybe. Right, and payday loans. Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley has won a place on the Senate Banking and Budget Committees. Merkley, who took office last month, said that the two panels complete his committee assignments for the next 2 years. He said that he was especially pleased to win a seat on the Banking Committee because that's where the money is. In the words, immortal words of Willie Sutton, which also oversees housing and urban development as well as federal monetary policy, including the Federal Reserve System, what's left of it.
Payday loans, they give cash to customers after a fee and a post-dated check, have been a contentious issue for many years in state capitals. But a year-old recession, a gloomy economic outlook, and the sour aftertaste of the subprime mortgage crisis are setting a different stage for this year's political battle of regulating the payday lending industry.
And finally this, an Aeromexico flight to Seattle that was diverted by fog turned into a riot and an ordeal for passengers who spent 4 hours cooped up on the tarmac at Portland. Passengers' ire was relieved only by paramedics who administered Big Macs. The bright side, we don't need tasers or high-tech crowd control weaponry to subdue enraged Americans. A Big Mac is all it takes. If hamburgers were available in aerosol form, we'd never use tear gas again.
New York Governor David Paterson has appointed Democratic Representative Kirsten Gillibrand to fill New York's vacant Senate seat. The appointment was announced today and requires no confirmation. The announcement comes one day after Carolyn Kennedy, JFK's daughter, abruptly withdrew from consideration for the Senate seat.
Anybody who's been driving in downtown Portland on Fridays around noon along in front of the federal building will have noticed the presence of the women in black. They are there to draw attention to the plight of people in Gaza who, although the actual mechanics of the massacre have ceased, people are still dying. Hospitals are getting scant aid. People are struggling to deal with the many, many injured, the wounded, the orphans. People have no homes, have nothing. Joining us this morning is one of the women in black, Maxine Fuchs. And good morning, Maxine, and thank you so much for being with us today.
Good morning, Chris. Thank you. Thank you.
So talk a little bit, if you would, about what Women in Black are doing, what you hope to achieve, and generally your attempts to contact our elected representatives who are paid to listen to us.
Yeah, sure. First of all, I guess I want to just qualify by saying that a woman by the name of Yvonne is really the main organizer of Women in Black. And Women in Black is an international movement of solidarity of women against war, against occupations in whatever unjust form they take. And so recently, with the escalation of the violence of the siege, the massacre in Gaza, Women in Black in Portland and around the world have made statements of solidarity for the people, with the people in Gaza, and a call to immediately, of course, have a ceasefire, which, you know, theoretically has happened, but also women in solidarity with the people, because really the just tragic humanitarian crisis still exists, as you said, with inadequate aid, very, very scant aid getting there. And also the bigger question of a just peace for the Middle East. So for Palestinians, as well as Israelis, of course. And so Women in Black comes together in Portland every Friday from 12 to 1. If you work downtown, come on your lunch hour. And stands across from the federal building on Southwest 3rd. And just our presence is there to speak out against war and right now for a just peace in the Middle East.
Thank you so much, Maxine. That was Maxine Fuchsen with Women in Black, and that action is every Friday across from the Federal Building, noon to 1. Come on down.
Muhammad Saad Iqbal is a free man after serving more than 6 years at Guantanamo without any charge. Now Iqbal's suing the U.S. government for unlawful detention. It's not the first lawsuit brought against the government by a former Guantanamo detainee, but it comes as President Obama takes office, promising to shut down the detention facility within a year.
And finally, American diplomacy in the post-Bush era. Suspected U.S. missiles killed 18 people on the Pakistan side of the Afghan border today. This is the first attack on the so-called al-Qaeda stronghold since President Barack Obama took office. At least 5 foreign militants, and I use that term loosely, were among those killed in the strikes by unmanned aircraft in 2 parts of the frontier region. There was no information on the identities of the others. Civilians, perhaps? We don't know. Anyway, so much for a new era of American diplomacy.
For tens of thousands of U.S. Marines in Southern California, new orders from the brass amount to Baghdad Sí, Tijuana No. Citing a wave of violence and murder in Mexico, the commanding officer of the 1st Marine Expeditionary Force, based at Camp Pendleton, has made the popular R&R destinations of Tijuana and nearby beaches off-limits for his Marines. This has been Headlines and Commentary from Air Cascadia for Friday, January 23, 2009. Today's editor is Chris Andre. Engineering is Todd Wilson. The KBU AM News and Public Affairs Director is Kathleen Stevenson. I'm Liam Delta.
And I'm Chris Andre. You're listening to member-supported KBOO Portland, your community radio station at 90.7 FM. Your support, and your support only, keeps us subverting the dominant paradigm. Thank you so much, members. Those of you who aren't members, your opportunity is coming up soon, next week. Be sure to join.
Coming up next, Flashpoints with Dennis Bernstein. We'll have continuing reports from Palestine and a discussion of the closing of Guantanamo. This was recorded last night.
Thanks for listening and have a good day.